Hello and welcome back to the Gully Scorecard podcast. In this episode, we go over some appalling results from the Premier League over the last 14 days, including Spurs' thrashing of United at Old Trafford and Liverpool's freak defeat to Aston Villa.
We also review RCB's opening games of the season and speculate over the future. Stick around to the end of the episode where we give our opinion and our best starting 11 for the afternoon.
Make sure you follow us on Instagram and Twitter at The Gully Scorecard for episode updates and leave a review and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Welcome back to the podcast, guys. We've been away for a couple of weeks. We got caught up with some schoolwork, but we've seen some interesting results over the last few weeks, haven't we?
Oh, yes, we have. And especially, I mean, we've seen many, but we'd like to start with our dear and beloved Manchester United. Nikhil, take it away. Take it away.
We cannot express the joy that we had while watching that game. It was too good. It was too good. I mean, 3-0 would have been nice, but 6-1 was more than we could eat.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like, I remember watching, like, when United scored the penalty, I was like, oh, fuck, okay, it's happening again. Fernandes scores in the first minute. Martial gets a pen. Same scoreline. United are going to, like, shit house a win again. Then Spurs immediately replied. I was like, okay, fine. Spurs replied. And then the fucking calamity of that goal, which Maguire pulled Shaw back and Son scored. I fell down laughing. That was too good.
That was too good. Before we get on to a rant, not a rant, but dissing United, I guess we should like compliment Spurs and how good they were.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they were like Son and Kane linking up very, very well. Jose actually got the support from Daniel Levy, which none of us thought, you know, Spurs would actually do. And yeah, they've brought in some quality players and also we shall see. Yeah, well, I mean, I think one thing that Spurs had to address was their fullbacks, and they actually did that. They brought in Reguilon, they brought in Doherty, two quality fullbacks. And yeah, I think it's looking up for them, apart from Bale, which is just crazy.
Yeah, Bale was one of the marquee signings of the window for me. I mean, I know he's been like injured at Madrid and not used well, but you can't ignore he has been at a world-class level for when he wasn't injured in his first years in Madrid, he was world-class. And at Spurs, while leaving, he was world-class. So if he can bring back that form of his towards like the last few years or whatever is left in his career, he can definitely change the fortunes of this Spurs side. And you know how Mourinho has a very good second season. Now he has a good supporting cast to go with that second season. So I don't put a Europa League or an FA Cup out of the question for Spurs this season, 100%.
Yeah, neither is a top four finish.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
that's very, 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 you know, it could happen, but let's swiftly move on to Manchester United's performance. Oh my God, what a fucking shambles. It was so bad. It was so bad. So start off with the first goal. Like Anuj was a bit too eager before itself. But the first goal, yeah, I mean, 80 million fridge pulling back your left back so that the other team can score is just great, isn't it?
Oh my God, it was... I don't even know what to say. I'm smiling so much right now, y'all don't know. I'm smiling so much because that was genuinely one of the funniest sequences of play I've seen, because he headed the ball, Son won the ball, his teammate was ahead of him to tackle Son. He said, no, you don't tackle him, let nobody tackle him and let him score. Fucking genius.
Genius. 80 million for a fridge. And then I had people had the audacity when, like, I think not when Maguire, I mean, like, around when Maguire joined United, when he, I guess, had a purple patch, people had the audacity to say, oh, him and Ramos would be the, you know, best centre back partnership in the world, you know. And people have the audacity to, you know, put his name along with the likes of like Van Dijk and stuff. He's nowhere near. He's being found out. So he's been found out, especially towards the start of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel that like it was coming. It was definitely coming because you saw signs of it last season as well, because he had so many blunders last season. And it's a fact that, like, I think Paul Merson mentioned this when Maguire had just signed, that Maguire played in a Leicester team, which sat at the edge of their own box. they didn't move forward. They didn't, you know, press high, especially under Claude Puel. And then when he goes to United, he's up at the halfway line, like Paul Mosin said. So he's completely lost in that position. He has no positional awareness. He has no genuine skills as a defender. So yeah, he's completely out of his depth and a horrible signing for United. Very horrible.
But I feel, so a lot of what I've heard from United fans is saying that they needed a centre-back that could head the ball away. Ironically, he really headed it into the feet of Ndombele. But they needed a centre-back that was, you know, strong and hefty and that was good at aerial duels and, you know, could head the ball away, head the crosses away. But he really, I mean, initially, I guess he did do that, but he would, on against Spurs, he was just terrible. He didn't do anything. He was really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, especially like they had that centre-back in Eric Bailly, but Eric Bailly's knees just said, fuck it, I don't want to play football. And then Eric Bailly's injured forever. So you can't really help that case. But yeah, Maguire is a fucking massive head, but no brains. That's all the best way to describe him.
Ironically, Bailly did play that game.
Yeah, but you know, the fuck, Lindelof wasn't there. I mean, if Lindelof was there, it probably would have been like 8-2 or something like that.
Lindelof's atrocious as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, moving on to, I mean, the second goal was what? Let's talk about the. I mean, the second goal was a good, you know, intuition from Kane. Like,
yeah,
it was far, quick thinking, through on goal, and Son's pretty much faster than anyone in the league. There was no way Maguire was catching up with him.
Yep,
Son puts it in. But let's talk about the red card.
Eric Lamela, you fucking disgusting prick, but I love you so much for doing that because that was fucking brilliant.
If he did that to Chelsea, oh my God, I'd be so angry. I'd be so angry. The only reason I'm happy because it happened to United.
Oh, and you know what's even better for you is that it happened, or for us actually, is that it happened to Martial of all people. Tony Martial got red carded.
Let him fuck off. I fucking hate that prick. Yo. But what a dirty guy. What a dirty... Jose Mourinho 100% told him to do that when he went out. 110%. 100%. He's that kind of guy. Pro legendary guy. But yeah, that got Martial sent off. And I feel like people keep saying that... the scoreline only got that bad because you had 10 men. Yeah, sure. But you still had 4 defenders on the pitch.
Exactly. And you had like... The one guy who got sent off was the striker. So like normally if you are down to 10 men, you sub off your striker and get on a midfielder or a defender. So like it really didn't matter you were down to 10 men. You were just piss poor against a very good Spurs side who ripped you apart. So United fans, hope you enjoyed that. And... really hope that you continue with this brilliant run of form that you have for the rest of the season.
Yeah, this was good. Paul Pogba was awful.
Oh, my God.
Awful. He was really, really bad. He was at fault for the 6th goal. I mean, at that point, I guess...
6th goal.
At that point, it was just, you know, I feel like they had given up. But there was damage. You could have... I mean, you don't have to put 10 men behind the ball to stop it from being 6-1. Like, fine, you would have lost the game. If you lost 3-1 and you had a red card, no one would have given a shit. Like, we would have still laughed at you.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have been this bad.
Yeah.
At some point, it has to be, you know, damage limitation.
Yeah, but this was coming for United. This was 100% coming. Because Brighton, they escaped with the skin of their teeth. Brighton hit the post 6 or 7 times that game and still managed to lose through a penalty in the 100th minute. Like... what the fuck? And this game, they got their fucking, you know, karma or whatever for fucking beating Brighton, because this was proper revenge. Proper revenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely being found out. And did you hear what Paul Pogba said?
No, I didn't hear what he said.
See, so, like, normally when Paul Pogba goes off on international duty, he'll say, when the press asks him, what was it like to, you know, go to Madrid, and he was like, oh, Madrid's a dream for me and all. And
yeah.
Every time it time it goes, every time shit hits the fan at United, this guy goes and says, oh, Madrid's a dream for me and all. What a prick.
I mean, like, he's got to get his bag, man. He's just going for the bag. You know, he doesn't give a shit about United anymore. He doesn't give a shit at all. That team can fuck itself. They've wasted the prime years. I mean, he's a good player, but he's not been good at United. And I don't know about the support and whatever. I really don't give a fuck. But, he wants to go and win trophies. He wants a stat pad trophies at Real Madrid, like every other average to good player wants to do. So, I don't blame him, but, like, do whatever the fuck you want to do. Okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's a World Cup winner.
Yeah.
And an integral part of the World Cup, of France's World Cup winning team. Why wouldn't you want to go to Madrid? Or, like, a team that has the possibility of, you know, winning the league or winning the Champions League.
Yeah. A team with challenges for something, unlike United. The only thing challenging in their team is their mentally challenged defenders. That's the only challenge in their team.
I mean, they challenge themselves. The players challenge themselves. Bruno Fernandes in the dressing room. What an odd idiot, bro.
Oh, that's too funny, man. Fucking took
Maguire. I mean, if that's true, it's really funny.
I believe it's true. I don't care what happened. In my heart, in my mind, that story is true. Bruno Fernandes ripped the fuck into Maguire and took him to the cleaners.
What did he say? He said, you're not fit enough to wear the badge, or you're fit enough to wear the shirt. Or
yeah, some like, you're not fit enough to wear the badge. You were really bad today and you're not positioning in. After he got megged, especially that goal, like, there was a video of Fernandes' reaction. He was like, oh, he like just stomped his foot and started screaming at Maguire and also. It was just hilarious, man. Fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, and there was so much, you know, he was so angry that Solskjaer had to take him off at halftime.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and people think, like, why didn't he? Pogba was having an awful game. Bruno Fernandes, arguably one of the better players on the United side. Why didn't you take off Pogba?
Eventually they took him off, I think. I don't remember. Oh, no, he was there for the sixth goal.
I mean, he was there for the sixth goal.
They take him off. Damn. Well, I mean, they took him off only because of that Maguire thing. Cause now that makes more sense because, you know, he did come off because of his scuffle with Maguire. But yeah, that was a quality 90 minutes of football.
Yeah, Solskjaer got found out.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many, 10 men, 25 men. He got found out. He was tactically found out. And they had a rubbish transfer window. They brought in 33-year-old Cavani. And these guys think, you know, he'll be the next sensation. No, he's not. I can promise you that. Alex Telles. I actually like Luke Shaw. So I guess he's a good second left back. But you need a right winger. You didn't get Sancho. You made a mockery of yourself. You wanted Dembele, didn't get that either. Needed a DM, you didn't get that. Donny van de Beek isn't a DM, don't come at me.
He's not even starting.
You needed a centre back. Donny van de Beek doesn't even start. You didn't even get a centre back. So, don't come at me saying Cavani's going to change stuff. Like, no, he's not going to. Anthony Martial, as much as I hate to admit it, is better than Cavani. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah, they had an awful, awful fucking transfer window. Like, Sancho, I knew since day one Sancho was never going to go to United. I fucking knew it. I definitely knew it. I don't know if I said it before on the podcast, but I definitely felt that the deal was never going through just because of how piss poor United's negotiation is when it comes to these big players. Like, their pull ended after Pogba and Lukaku. Since those two transfers, they haven't had, like, a proper, you know, someone who is, you know, like, on the peak of their thing coming to United. It hasn't happened since Lukaku. I mean, Ibra was towards the end, so, like, I guess, but nah, they're done, man. They're done. It's not gonna happen.
In my opinion, I don't think it's more that the pull is gone. It's just my opinion, because it's still United, like, as much as we hate to say it, they're one of the biggest clubs in the world. I think it's more their head of negotiations, head of football, is so bad at, you know, they thought they could take Dortmund lightly when they said 120 million. And they thought they could just fiddle around, beat around the bush, like, oh, 70 million, yeah, we'll get it done. But they never actually heard what's the guy's name? Zorc, right?
Yeah,
they never actually heard what he said. They were firm with, August 10th is the deadline. If you don't pay 120 million before that, you're not getting him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the media team from the United that are, you know, prolonging this story that they were going to get Sancho. It stopped on August 10th. It was never going to happen after that. They just took them for a ride. And Dortmund said, you can't fuck around with us anymore. We're not giving you him. And yeah, that's testament to how bad the negotiators are.
And to be fair to Dortmund, like, they've had their, like, they've been fucked over a lot over the past decade in terms of players going to Bayern Munich, players like Dembele going up. I mean, Dembele going to Barca, they got money for it, but, like, they had free transfers of their best players going straight to Bayern Munich, especially Lewandowski, who's, like, one of the best, like, he won UEFA Men's Player of the Year this year. So, like, they've been fucked over a lot. So, showing this sort of, you know, what's that word, resistance in the transfer market against a team like United, which they do have pull, but as you said, their director of football, he's probably destroying the pull that they have by being so dumb and being so stringent and not improving the team at all. So, yeah, either ways, they're fucked. We love it. And yes, that's it.
Yeah. Let's move on to another team that got that kind of overshadowed, you know, the defeat on whenever Saturday, Sunday, whenever it was, which we thought was quite annoying. Aston Villa beat Liverpool 7-2.
I still don't fucking believe it. When I wouldn't watch the fucking first 20 minutes. I was just like chilling after United game. I was messaging all the fans like, oh, you got fucked, fuck you. Like, just fucking around with them. And then I saw Villa 3-1 up. I was like, okay, fine. Liverpool are going to pull this back 3-3, 4-3, whatever. 4-1 halftime, fucking 5-1, 6-2. I don't know what the fuck. They just kept scoring and didn't stop. What the fuck was that game?
Bro, I didn't even see it. I was like, yeah, after United Spurs, who gives a shit about Liverpool? Liverpool will ram Aston Villa. You know, I'll go to sleep, you know, happy United got fucked. But we got more than we could ask for in Liverpool getting fucked. I mean, it wasn't more than what we could ask for because we kind of wanted United to be the highlight of...
Exactly, you know. Exactly.
But yeah, what went wrong?
I don't mind. From what I saw the end of the first half and the second half. So, their defending was horrible. Alexander Arnold was horrible. Gomez was fucking pathetic. Like, Gomez, he has good recovery speed, but his decision making is horrible. Adrian has been horrible forever. We all know that. And yeah, not having Mane was a big miss as well because like he got COVID as well. So not having Mane was bad. But yeah, they were just awful. And I mean, to give them some leeway. Three or four of the goals were deflected, and like it was just, you know, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And Villa were brilliant. Ollie Watkins was brilliant, and like Nikhil, you know more about Watkins than I do, so yeah, he was crazy, man.
Yeah, I told you about Ollie Watkins. I heard some people. I don't know where he came from in the, was it Brentford? He came from somewhere in the Championship, and he came to Aston Villa. I was, and people started ranting and raving about him. I was like, who is this kid? And I saw some videos of him, and dude, he's a quality player, dude. I think he's really, really good. And we don't need to say anything about Grealish. Everyone knows he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And plus, on top of that, they signed Barkley. They have... who's the other guy?
Trezeguet's always been there. They have Tyrone Mings in defense, who was solid. They have Konza, who's also a very competent defender. They have Douglas Luiz, who is a brilliant defensive midfielder. So, yeah man. I mean... they stayed up with the skin of their teeth, but they've started very well this season. So, you never know. Never know.
Yeah, they started very, very well. Also, I saw this post on Instagram. Gomez and Maguire is the English centre-back partnership.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yo, that's shambolic.
My goodness. I'd like to put this into context about how bad this result was. And like just to praise Chelsea also in a bit. Like, Mourinho's Chelsea team of 2004-2005, they conceded, I think, 13 or 15 goals in the entire season. United and Liverpool alone today conceded 13 goals. That shows you how fucking insane that record is and how that, I don't think it's ever going to be beaten in the near future. Conceding less than 20 goals in a season is fucking crazy, man. That's insane.
Yeah, the 04-05 Chelsea team was one of the best teams that in the Premier League. I guess... the 99 United team, I guess the recent Liverpool team, the Arsenal 02-03 and 04-05 Chelsea. Those are my four best teams.
Yeah, those are insane, man. Chelsea team is one of my favorites at least because like I really love teams who defend well. Ironically, I love teams who defend well. But yeah, I mean, that was that Chelsea team was fucking crazy, man. I really respect.
I mean, when you're an Arsenal or Chelsea fan that sees your team defend shambolically every week, why wouldn't you like a team that defends?
Grass is always green on the other side. No, like
exactly. Yeah, this was a freak. So do you think this is more of a freak result or this is going to be like a trend? Like, you know, Liverpool are not going to do well.
Nah, I think it's a freak result. But I think it's a freak result, but it could be a trend because like Klopp won the title with Dortmund back to back and then he almost got them relegated. So like, it could be a Klopp thing, you know, like he's just running them into the ground suddenly out of nowhere. So you never know. But I do think it's a freak result because Liverpool do have the quality in their team. And I think eventually once, you know, whatever shit they have gets sorted out, they'll be back on their feet and I'm going to win the title because I predicted that to happen and it better fucking happen.
Yeah, I think for me, I think also it's definitely a freak result because I trust Klopp. I think he's a very good manager. I don't think he'd run them into the ground. I think there was more of a arrogance and more of a, like, you know, an overconfidence, like encompassing the team, that kind of an attitude that was around the dressing room that, you know, we could beat any team. I think that's what led to their downfall. Like Virgil van Dijk was lauded and praised over the last year. And I guess he has his, you know, moments, but I think this is definitely a freak result. I think still Liverpool are definitely on track to win the league, I think.
Oh yeah. They have the best, arguably the best manager in the league in terms of form and the best squad in terms of a unit, in terms of a system. They probably have the most efficient system in the league. So there's no doubting that. It's just that it happened one day, happens to every team, but we didn't expect it to happen this bad. So that's the only difference, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and not on a day where United, you know, deservingly got fucked.
Oh my god, yeah. That this ruined it, man. It fucking ruined it. I was like, I didn't know what to feel. I was like, okay, let me make fun of United. But United fans are happy making fun of Liverpool, so I can't win. This situation is not good.
That just shows you what kind of fans they are. Like,
yeah,
they're more anti-Liverpool or anti-top six than they are pro-United because they know how bad United is or yeah. United are.
Yeah. I mean, I am my fair share of anti-United. But I do like Arsenal, but I am very anti-United. So I probably wouldn't say that statement. But yeah, I mean, they can do whatever they want.
I'm anti-United. I'm anti-United, but
yeah.
I'm more pro-Chelsea than I am anti-United.
I think it's probably equal for me. Anti-United. Arsenal. That's how bad it is.
Okay. Tracking back a bit earlier, we saw another result, but this one I think could be more of a trend. Yeah. City lost 5-2 to Leicester.
Staying in Manchester. Manchester does not seem like a good place to be right now. Shipping loads of goals.
London's the place to be.
Yeah, London's always been the place to be, man. Fuck Manchester.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess Merseyside.
Yeah, I mean, Merseyside, yeah. But anyways, fuck that. City got fucking walled up by Leicester. Vardy scored a hat-trick and two of them are penalties. And we might talk about the penalties later if we remember. Like how many penalties there have been this season and how shambolic the rule is or whatever. Jeez. But yeah, it's just been, it was crazy. That result was crazy, man. Yeah, that result was,
I didn't actually see the game because I was somewhere else. But damn, 5-2. Tell me what happened.
I saw the last few goals. I saw when it became 3-1, I think I started watching. And then, yeah, City were just really bad. And then I think Nathan Ake scored for City and it made it like 4-2 or something to City. And then they got the Vardy just got subbed off and then they got a penalty again. So it was, I could feel his frustration in the stands. Like, fuck, I could have taken it and got 4 goals against City. But at the Etihad, that too. But and another interesting stat, which I'm pretty sure you must have read as well. Vardy's the first ever player to score a hat-trick against Pep Guardiola's team in Pep's home ground. Like, he's the first player to do that.
Which is fucking insane.
And the only other person to do it, a hat-trick against Pep's team, is Messi. So, like, it's a good company to be in. I mean, pretty good company to be in.
But is it just me or does the City don't seem to have that dominating effect like they will thrash you anymore? Yeah.
I mean, they'll thrash Arsenal, but no other team, apparently.
They don't seem like they, you know, they'll going to Watford, fuck them 8-0. You know, going to West Brom, pace them 5-0. Like, it does, they don't seem to have that, you know, that persona anymore. I mean, I don't know if that's just me. I think personally, I think losing Aguero sitting out was, is, I mean, not having a striker was, is a downside. Benjamin Mendy, the less said about him, the better.
His existence is a downside in that City team.
But yeah, I think the likes of, you know, Bernardo Silva and, you know, Phil Foden, Sterling have to step up, because other, if this keeps going on, it's not looking good for them.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I know the striker thing is a thing, but I think it's maybe just more of like, maybe some sort of fatigue, because like, they've been dominating over the past 2 or 3 seasons, winning titles, got 100 points, 98 points. And then last season was a bit of a fall off compared to the previous seasons, but it was still an 81 point season. So maybe it's just that, maybe they need something new. Maybe it's just, you know, like, they're not able to click anymore. They're just, it's just something's not working in that City dressing room. And we need another Amazon documentary. That's what we need. Another documentary on City this season about why they're fucking up so much. That's what we need. Amazon, if you're listening to this, credit us when you make the documentary. Just give one. Yes. Kali's Coca tagline.
We need some listens. but yeah, City, it's not looking good early on. Like, I'm sure, I don't think, I hope not actually like City. I don't think this will carry on. But I don't think they'll win like I thought they would at when I made my predictions. Like, I'm not allowed to change it now, but they don't look as, you know.
They don't look as menacing. Not as menacing as they were. It just feels weird.
One team that does look very menacing is Everton.
They look very, very good. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, man. That guy has turned the fucking levels to another. He's just been so good. He's been so fucking good. He's scoring every game consistently. Ancelotti has found some spark in him, which has made him, you know, give me 15-16 Jamie Vardy vibes. He's been very good.
Yeah, that's true. That could be the case. Yeah, I mean, people started to doubt James's quality.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's very similar to the Bale situation. Yeah. He was just left on the bench, underutilized by the Madrid manager. Class is permanent. I think that's the case here, because he's showing how good he is. Alan, Doucouré, Richarlison hasn't gone off the best start, but yeah, they're looking really, really strong.
Yeah, they're extremely solid. And like, as you pointed out in the predictions as well, I completely forgot that they actually have a competent manager to go with a quality team. Like, Carlo Ancelotti is a Champions League winning manager. And if he got the backing from Everton board, like almost all their managers have, and he made quality signings because he has that manager pull. He's a Champions League winner. He got to sign James, who's been with him at 3 different clubs now. He has Alan, who, I don't know if he was at him with Napoli, but Alan's a great signing. And the only blip in their team is probably their defense and like Pickford, because Pickford was at fault for, I think, against Brighton when they conceded, Pickford was at fault. But whatever, that's probably the only fault I have in their team. Otherwise, they've been excellent this season.
Yeah, they've got off to a bright start. Do you think this will continue though?
See, that's what I said. Their depth, they signed they signed Ben Godfrey from Norwich, who guess that increased their depth a lot. The depth is the only issue for me for them. If Calvert-Lewin or James gets injured, if they're able to survive without them, that's the only issue for me. But if they stay fit, they're definitely a top four contender, 100%. And who knows, maybe their first Premier League title.
Who knows? I mean, this season has got off to a, you know, a crazy start, and it really could be anything at this point. But let's, you know, move on to a different sport. Okay, so before we move on from football, here's a word from our sponsor. Okay, so see, the last time we talked about the IPL was when it just started. And a lot has happened since then. So, what do you think, dude?
Yeah, man, like, Delhi Capitals, what the hell has been injected into that team? I really don't know. They've been probably the most impressive team for me this IPL season. Like, they've been very good batting, very good bowling, just all around a very consistent unit who I think they could have a very serious push for the title. And yeah, they've been the team which has impressed me the most. What about you?
Yeah, they seem like a balanced unit. Like, Every player on the team seems like they have their own role to play. I know that sounds, you know, self. I mean, that sounds like that's what a team should have. Like everyone has their role to play, but they just seem to click. Like they seem to be a functioning team. Like if the batting fails, you know, Tabata will step up. If the bowling, if they give away runs, there'll be Shreyas Iyer steps up, Stoinis steps up, Prithvi Shaw steps up. They seem to be a balanced side that, you know, really could, you know, push for the title this time.
And what I feel that what sets them apart from other teams is that many teams rely on, or like many, some teams which don't do really well or do average, like RCB and all, they rely on their foreign firepower. Like we rely on AB de Villiers, some other teams rely on Andre Russell and players like that. Sunrisers have a very good pool of Indian players, of Shreyas Iyer, of Rishabh Pant, and I think Shikhar Dhawan as well, who can really, you know, it pushes the team to another level, because they know they have four foreign players who will most likely do well in Rabada, but they have that Indian element who they can keep in the team always, because like there's no limit, and they perform every single time. So yeah, it's looking very bad for them.
Yeah, it's looking, they seem to be, you know, sure shot of getting into the top four this year. But yeah, another team that doesn't seem like that is Kings 11 Punjab. They seem to have hit rock bottom after they battered us.
Of course, after they battered us, no other team. Their only win is against us.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, me and Anuj and I predicted it at the start. I think we both said Punjab would be last.
Yeah, both of us said Punjab last. But he said Rajasthan last, and Rajasthan are seventh. So, I mean, both of us are going good right now. I guess we're going good.
Punjab don't seem to be clicking at all.
And they have a good team.
One game that they did blow away was the game where Mayank hit 100 and Rahul Tewatia put on a scene.
Oh my goodness, man. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Like, he started so bad. And I think the turning point of his innings was like, he was batting really bad. He wasn't getting timing on the ball. He wasn't able to pick any balls away. And then there was one instance where Sanju Samson was on the other end and he hit a ball somewhere. It was a clear single, but he said no. He didn't take the single because he wanted to keep strike and keep hitting the ball. And I think that somehow flicked the switch in Tewatia's mind. He's like, okay, fuck, now it's becoming a joke. I really need to take this seriously. And then that Sheldon Cottrell over, rest is history, man. That's fucking iconic.
Shit, yeah. He turned the game on its head, like, damn, 5 sixes in and over. Yeah, that was insane. But apart from that, Rajasthan Royals also have slipped.
Yeah,
they beat CSKA, they beat Punjab, but they lost badly to us. They lost to KKR. They've slipped.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Smith is a good captain. I like him a lot, but I don't think he's fired enough as a. He's opened a few innings for them, and I just think that opening spot is just not suiting him right now. He played a few good innings, but like I think while chasing, sometimes he falters when he opens the batting. I don't know, man. I just don't see the rhythm in that team that I see in other teams. Like Jofra Archer, yeah. I feel sad for him because he puts in a shift every single game when I see him play.
Yeah, Archer's class. But I think one thing that could help them, I think Ben Stokes has joined the camp again.
Yeah.
And he's everyone knows how good he is.
Game changer.
Like, yeah, so I think that could be, you know, a changing point for them. But that's left to be seen. So we got to move on from that. But, Mumbai's playing well.
I don't think we need to talk about that. I think we can just gloss over Mumbai. Nobody gives a shit. Fuck Mumbai. We'll talk about CSK though. Mumbai, they've been fucking trash.
CSK full brick. They've bricked properly. So the thing about, did you see Kedar Jadhav's innings that day?
Oh my god, bro, that last over was the funniest shit ever, man. So fucking bad. Oh my god.
So bad. Kedar Jadhav needs to be axed. But I think CSK, if their top order, like if their openers and, you know, top order don't fire, they have no chance in chasing any total.
Yeah, SW has been good, but SW being good is just not good enough, I guess.
Not good for us. Like,
yeah, We don't give a shit about him.
Pfaff has been very good.
Yeah, he's been good. He's been good. Got off to a few good innings this season. But anyways, fuck CSK, they're losing. We're playing them next and we'll get to that later. Yeah. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, so I think the more interesting thing for us is talking about our team.
Yes.
So the last time we recorded, we hadn't seen the Super Over yet. And we just want to relive what we were going through during that Super Over.
Jesus, man. My heart is beating so fast right now just thinking about it. Fucking hell.
So one, I think we should laud Devdutt.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. 100%.
He's been really, really good. He's been an answer for us at the top of the order.
Something we've been missing since Chris Gayle. A proper top order batsman.
I think, I mean, he can't play, I don't think he can play a proper 80-90 innings yet because he's not, I don't think he's strong enough.
Yeah.
But he's getting off to good starts, which is what we need.
Yeah, he's a very, very, very good partner to open the batting with. Finch has been a bit underwhelming, but like, anyways, if the particular has been class, pure class. 350s in 5 innings, you can't for a 20-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. He's been great. And yeah, I mean, that game against Mumbai, De Villiers was something else.
Oh, so good, man. So fucking good. I love when he paced Mumbai as well. I remember we talked about this, of course, when he paced them at Wankhede. Ooh, what an innings. What an innings. And then he did it again.
Yeah, so we put what? 200 on the board?
Yeah.
How much was it?
210 maybe. I think it's 201.
And they lost wickets early. They lost Rohit Sharma early. They lost De Kock early. Surya Kumar, all of them, they lost early only. And this bastard, Ishan Kishan, turns up. Bro, so this 14th over, 13th over itself, we were like, yeah, there's no way they're coming back from this. We need, you know, we're going to, you know, kind of neutralize how badly our net run rate got dicked. Against Punjab, we're going to, you know, have a big victory here. It's going to go back to, you know, around zero. This guy and Pollard just start hammering.
Man, Pollard, he just always somehow seems to turn up against RCB, man. It's so fucking annoying. Like, once in three seasons, he'll put off on masterclass against RCB and fuck us. It's so pissing off.
So annoying, bro. Like, yeah, Ishan Kishan, hats off to him. He was good. He was very, very good.
Yeah.
But our captaincy, Virat Kohli's captaincy wasn't.
No. Bowling two spinners back-to-back in, I think, 14th, 15th over or something was just not good. Both leg spinners, both were bound to get pulverized. 15th.
It was 17th. It was 17th and 18th over.
Jeez, yeah. I don't remember that. Fucking hell, that was horrible.
So Zampa's over went for 27. So this is, I think they needed 80 in 4 overs.
Yeah, it was around that, yeah.
Zampa gave 27 and Chahal gave 20.
That's just too easy, man. You're just giving the game to them. Why just fucking declare? No, what the fuck are you doing to us?
And I think that's what got Pollard started.
Yeah.
Like, giving him some nice spinners, you know, just to tonk them. And then, yeah, but I couldn't believe we took it to a Super Bowl. I couldn't believe we took it so close.
To be fair, towards like the last three balls, it was almost like us taking it to Super Over, like we were so close to losing. Because like they needed four runs of two balls or something, and then Kishan got out and then Pollard, or 5 runs of two balls, and then Kishan got out and then Pollard hit that boundary. So like we almost lost that game from such a great position and pulled it to a Super Over, and then he won the Super Over. That was, I mean, Saini bowled really well, but yeah, it shouldn't have never gone to a Super Over.
It should never have got to that point in hindsight. But we wanted to relive what we were going through. we were on call with Paritosh while we were watching the game, and Pari and Anuj have you watch on Hotstar, right?
Yeah,
Hotstar. So. And I watch it on the cable, Star Sports. And I think there's a delay on Hotstar. So I get, you know, the stream earlier. Like, I mean, it's like, I get it like 1 minute. There's like a 1 minute lag on Hotstar. And then they were like, dude, don't fucking spoil the game. Don't tell us what's happening. It was too good. So I had to mute myself on the call while they were shouting and screaming.
Bro, this motherfucker, we were sitting, okay, so Pari and I are on call. Both of us are fucking losing our minds. I was on my floor hugging a pillow, just, I didn't want to look. I was so fucking scared. And Pari just kept cutting out on the call because of some dumb shit. Like, Pari, are you there? Pari, are you there? Pari, are you there? And then, so when, before we see the last ball, Nikhil unmutes himself and says, oh, super over, boys. They're like, what the fuck? Why? We didn't want to know that. And yeah, it was fucking annoying, man. But yeah.
The only reason I did that was I was so irritated that it got so that it came down to a super over. Because my instant thought when it went to a super over was like, yeah, gone, we've lost.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. But yeah, we ended up winning, but it was not something we wanted to go through. I was too tense.
Not at all. Especially after hitting 201 in the first innings and having them at such a position, that was a perfect opportunity to, you know, boost our net run rate. And then we just. It like, okay, fine, we don't want net run rate, you can keep it, Mumbai, we don't want it. that's what it was.
That's what we should, we should have never got to that point, never.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was too bloody tense. But I guess the other RCB games, we got dicked by Delhi.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really give a shit about the games we lost, because like, yeah, losses happen. We're still winning the title, so I hope you all know that.
I think the good thing about RCB this time is we aren't losing any of the close games anymore.
Yeah, we have luck more on us. Like, that's good and bad because it shows that the luck is shorter on our side, but it also shows that when we lose, it's a fucking blowout for our net run rate. And when we win, it's not that good for our net run rate. So, like, it's good in terms of luck, but bad in terms of statistics, that sort of thing.
Yeah, we had the Mumbai one was very close.
Yeah,
we beat SRH kind of convincingly. We belted our Rajasthan.
Yeah,
and we were blown out of the water by Punjab and Delhi.
Yeah,
so keeping that in mind, what do you see for us for the rest of the season?
I'm most looking forward to our two games in Sharjah, because those will be game changing matches. I mean, or season-changing matches, if I say so. Because we can belt in a Sharjah ground with the batting capability we have. And I know Finch hasn't been great, but when Finch is on song, if you give him a ground like Sharjah, he's going to rip you apart. And obviously, AB de Villiers and Virat Kohli and they have that Padikkal and all of those players. So, if you can just get our bowling right and not play Mohammad Siraj, and just, you know, just get that. We had a good formula, even though Gurkida didn't contribute at all. Like, he was a role player. He was a good enough role player, man. Like, why did you have to drop him for Siraj? But anyways, yeah, I think those two Sharjah games, especially since they are the 7th and 8th games of the season for us, they will be very, very crucial. And I think those will be the season-defining games for us.
Yeah, I think... Siraj is actually quite good against... he was the best of the bowlers against Delhi.
It's not an achievement.
Yeah, he's still awful. Still awful.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. I think the Sharjah games could be quite important. But then again, knowing our bowling,
yeah,
the opposing team could hit 300.
It's a double-edged sword. It is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, yeah, I think so. I think we should probably address what our weaknesses before what we think our weaknesses are and our strengths are before we move on to, you know, what we think a good playing 11 would be for the rest of the season. So. What do you think our weaknesses are?
The most glaring weakness is our death bowling, because like we just cannot. We could be so. I mean, especially even though, we lost Delhi Capitals and all, no, but one game at Rajasthan, yeah, we chased the score in the end, but we were bad in the death overs because we gave away too many runs and we took their total to a total which was not needed at all. So death bowling is definitely a huge concern for us. And I think that's the biggest, because I think opening batting, maybe the first game we strung a good opening partnership. The games we lost, we had no opening partnership at all. So I feel opening partnership and death bowling, and obviously middle order batting has been a crisis forever, and that's never going to fix. We can't help it. But yeah, these two are the most glaring for me right now.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Death bowling has always been a problem for us. Anyone that comes into RCB, I guess other than Chahal, who is termed as an RCB bowler, automatically just becomes shit.
Yeah.
It's just so irritating. And we can't bowl at the death. I don't know how we're going to stop that. I guess we can talk about it when we talk about our, you know, 11. But, and yeah, and our middle order is just shambolic. We don't, once it gets past three or four down, we're done. Like, there's no coming back in the game for us. Like, Shivam Dubey is a bit and please player when it comes to batting. Like, he'll hit a few sixes towards the last one or two overs, but he can't play an innings.
Yeah, we don't have that middle order batsman who can carry you like many other teams do.
Yeah, exactly. Like a Stoinis or like a, you know, Pollard or something like that, that could, you know, get you over the line for the last like six or seven overs if you lose wickets early. I would stick with the opening partnership that we have now.
100%.
I wouldn't change it right now, but if Finch continues to flop, then I guess we could try different options.
Yeah. You think Virat will promote himself up the order to opening if Finch flops?
I think... I don't know. Possibly. But see, if Finch flops and you put Virat Kohli to play opening, that makes our batting depth even less.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Because, like, if Virat's going opening, then who's going to play, like, lower? Because, like, it really just makes the situation a bit more messy for us. And that's not what we need right now. So, I think I'd keep Finch and maybe Moeen Ali. But then, I don't know, man. It's just, we'll just keep, stick with Finch for now and see what he can do with Charger. That's the best way to go.
So, keeping these, I mean, our strengths, I guess, we know. Saini's been very good. Yeah. Bowling wise, Chahal's been brilliant as always, and our top order has always been firing. So I guess those are our strengths. Keeping that in mind, do you want to come up? Let's try and come up with the, you know, our best 11.
Okay, so top four is obvious: Finch, Padikkal, Kohli, AB.
Yeah, top four. I think we can, you know, that's a standard.
Yeah, standard. After that, now you had a bit of, I mean, before the season or like in the first few games, you were not quite convinced with Washington since that. I quite liked him and. He's turned out to be very good for us. Pretty economical bowler. Bowled during the power play as well. Showed his nerve. Bowled well. So I'd keep him in the team. I'd keep Washington Sundar in the team. How about you?
Yeah, I think he's proved me wrong. I think Washington Sundar has played very well. He's been very economical. Especially for the during the power play and whatnot. So I would keep Washington Sundar, yes. But, so if we need to address that middle order problem.
Who do we get?
Who would play after De Villiers?
I mean, I guess if you want, you can, I don't know, Josh Phillip, but like, who do you remove for Josh Phillip? And like, it's just a whole conundrum, man. Like, we don't have any Indian middle order batsmen, which is what I was saying. Like, Gurkirat hasn't batted yet, but I don't know how much he can bat. And yeah, man. I mean, Dubey can bowl too. Like, he's a good medium pacer. Like, he can bowl, you know, consistent like 120 or 110 or whatever, mixes up the pace. He's able to take pace off the ball, which is very good when it comes to the larger grounds. But at Sharjah, he's probably going to get whacked around. So, yeah, but I'd keep Dubey just because of the all-rounder thing. So, yeah, man.
Keep Dubey? See, for me, I don't think... So, my main thing, when you're playing, you know, 2-3 down, right? If we lose our top four early, we need someone that can play in innings.
Yeah.
Right? Get us to, you know, 160, 170, even if we lose our top four early. I don't think Dubey can do that.
Do you think Parthiv Patel can? Playing lower down the order?
No, not so. Not so. I think Moeen Ali is the, you know, is probably where I'd play him. But then again, if you play Moeen Ali, right? And I think we can both, you know, agree on Washington Sundar. So that's six.
But like,
who would you play after?
But like, Moeen Ali for who? For Zampa? Oh no, wait. So our four foreigners will be De Villiers, Moeen Ali, Finch, and who?
I see. I would really want to get Morrison.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting back to fitness. Like, we've seen RCB's post; they've been like teasing towards him being back. If he's back, I get him ahead of fucking Moeen Ali any day. I get Morrison.
Oh, but you know what I would do? So I would play. So I would do Finch, Padikkal, Kohli, De Villiers, Moeen Ali, Washington Sundar, Morris. I'll play both Moeen Ali and Morris.
Okay.
And then, see, that's the irritating thing. So, and then I'd play Udana, Chahal, Saini, and unfortunately I'd have to play this Umesh Yadav versus Raj.
Do you really have to? Wait, how many players is that?
That's 11, that's 11. You tell me what you think your best 11 is.
Wait, so top 4 plus 5 Moeen Ali, then Chris Morris.
You'd pick Moeen Ali.
I'd pick Moeen Ali and Chris Morris. That's 3. And then, that's 3 foreigners, I mean. So that's 6. Then Moeen Ali Morris. Then you have Dubey. You have Sundar. You have Chahal. You have Udana. And you have Saini. That's 11. Yeah, we don't need any more players.
Would you rather have, you know, 4 overs from Dubey or 4 overs from Umesh Yadav?
Dubey. I honestly Dubey, because I know Dubey can get whacked sometimes, but because I think he's a bit smarter as a bowler in terms of his, he uses his pace to his advantage. Umesh Yadav doesn't use anything to any advantage, it's just disadvantage. So yeah, I'd keep Dubey ahead of him. And Dubey can bat. Like, if you need a person who can finish the innings,
we screwed it up.
What?
That's, we've played 5 foreigners.
Who? Finch, Morris, Moeen, and Udana.
Finch, Morris, De Villiers.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Shit. I forgot about De Villiers. Oh, shit.
Okay. So then you can't play Udana. Okay.
Moeen Ali and I'd put Gurkirat. I won't put Umesh Yadav. Put Gurkirat.
Are you convinced? I mean, we haven't. If we'd seen Gurkirat bat, it would be better.
I just think he's a much better option than Umesh Yadav because of how much damage Umesh Yadav costs to the team. I don't know. I just feel Gurkirat is much better.
Yes, I would. I don't think Gurkirat is the answer for a middle over problem.
He's not the answer, but he's definitely not. Umesh Yadav is definitely not the answer to anything. So. I think we'd rather have a player who cannot do very well than a player who does extremely bad, you know?
So you're saying I'm guessing you're bringing in Morris because he's a good death bowler, right?
Yeah, and because he can do his fair share of batting. Like, you know, if you want to end the innings, he can give you that, you know, just extra push, you know, to end the innings. So.
Okay, fine. So you'd rather us have a better death bowling than, you know, have a better middle order?
Yeah, I guess so, because... I mean, I'd rather have a bad death bowling because I think we should set a standard for our top 4 to fire, because they are the best players in the world, Kohli and De Villiers. So I think they should fire, and if they don't fire, they have to take some of the blame, because like, they know what's behind them. They know it's not that strong, and there's nothing you can do about it right now because you clearly don't have the quality in the team. So you'd rather focus on an area which you can focus on, which is death bowling, because you have players like Chris Morris who can do the job, rather than take a risk and, you know, play a player who clearly cannot bowl in the death and, you know, try to fix the middle order, which it shouldn't need to be fixed if you have such quality up top, and they should deliver.
But my thing is with considering RCB being like a blockbuster franchise, right, that has so much money and like whatnot, shouldn't they be smart enough to, you know, address that problem of, you know, having good death bowlers and a good middle order, which like Delhi has done?
That's just down to the fucking whoever sits at the auction table, man. Just bad decisions. It's been bad decisions over bad decisions. That's what else can we say? The auctions have not been kind to us, and injuries have not been kind to us. I mean, Kane Richardson was someone we were supposed to get, didn't happen. We got Adam Zampa instead. And we were supposed to have Coulter last season. Didn't get him, got someone else. So, she's been very unlucky.
Yeah, why did we bring in a spinner? Like, we don't need another spinner. He's too similar to Chahal. If you're losing Kane Richardson, get another foreign fast bowler.
Exactly. But who was even on the market?
I don't know. I mean, I know in the auction, Trent Bolt was there. And he's one of the best bowlers in the world. We should have gone all out for him.
That's why we didn't go for him, because we're dumb. That's the only reason we didn't go for him. He's so good. Okay, let's stay away from him, because we do not want to be a good franchise. Even though we have the best fans in the world and the most dedicated support in the world, we just don't want to make them happy.
Yeah, Trent Bolt was an option, and you go for Kane Richardson.
Just annoying, man. Just annoying. Very annoying.
And we spend 10 crores on Morris, fine. Okay, he's not 10 crores worry, but he's a good player, right? Spend some of that money on a good fast bowler.
But I still think Morris will be a game changer for us when he comes. Since we got him in the auction, I've always liked him a lot. I've been a big fan of him wherever he was before. So I still think he'll be a very quality player for us once he starts playing. So I have hope in that area.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that at all. I think Morris will be a good player for us. But I still think our death bowling, I mean, Steyn was never going to be an option, the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know what they think. Oh, Steyn will, you know, become 20, 25 years again, like when he was in his prime, like that. That's
fucking not gonna happen. Run back the clock in the middle of his fucking end of his exactly. career.
He's not going to turn back time or anything. He's old. Like, why? He was never going to be the answer. Maybe one or two games he'd turn up, and even that he hasn't. So, yeah just poor decision making. We're just hoping we can pull through somehow. But yeah, so I think you wanna let's name 11 now then.
I think we already have. Like, I mean, we both. Okay, I think Moeen instead of
definitively. Richard, let's definitively. Okay, definitely. I think so.
Four.
Finch, Padikkal, Kohli, De Villiers.
Yeah.
I think we agreed on Gurkirat. Well, I'll agree with you on Gurkirat. Fine.
Fine.
Washington Sundar, Morris.
That's six.
That's seven.
My math is bad. That's seven. So then Dubey.
Saini
Dubey, 8-9.
Saini Dubey, 8-9.
Chahal Udana.
Udana Chahal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that we could vouch for that as being that being our best 11 currently.
Yeah. If everyone's fit.
So yeah, if everyone's fit. And so tomorrow we play tomorrow's the blockbuster game. We play CSK. What do you think?
Man, the South Indian Derby. The Bisibele Bath versus Idli Dosa. The biggest game of the IPL is here. I don't give a shit about Mumbai CSK. You can suck a cock. RCB CSK is the biggest game in terms of entertainment value and how much, you know. It's just
it
big.
It means to us.
Exactly. It means so much.
So much to us. Yo, and considering we went for one of the best games last year.
Exactly. It's got so much to live up to, man.
Okay, so how do you think we, you know, how do you think, what do you think? I know we will demolish CSK, well, there's no doubt in that, but
yeah.
What do you think we need to do to demolish them? Like, what weaknesses do we need to get over?
I'm just going to check where the match is, because it's not at Sharjah, isn't it? It's at some other...
It's the sixth match, so I don't think so, no.
Yeah. I don't know which fucking ground it is. Whatever. It's not Sharjah. So I think definitely we should target CSK's openers. We need to go hard at them. If they bat first, bowl first, I don't give a shit. We need to get them out. Because once we get them out, we expose whatever's left in that team. And that is something we can definitely get at. And MS Dhoni is like, he'll belt us, obviously. But
that's what I was going to say. Somehow he'll just come and belt us. Does it matter if they score like 50 runs? He'll score all 50 of them. But yeah, I definitely agree. We need to go hard in those openers. Get that wanker Watson out. You know, show him that he doesn't deserve a place on our team. Get Faf out. You know, he's been playing well. Get Rayudu out. And then I think we'll expose them. You know, their bowling is quite bad.
Yeah, wait. I like Curran. I like him. Good bowling.
So, Sam Curran's good. Yeah, I like Sam Curran. I'm sorry. But I trust our batting this time.
Yeah.
Do you think we should bat first or do you think we should bowl?
I think we should bat first. I just think bowling first does not work for us. We chased against Rajasthan, but I don't think we can chase. I just don't think it's there in us. We don't have the bottle in our team yet, excuse me, to pull off a chase. Like, it just feels very weird. Like, I don't know. I think if we bat first, we have more confidence because there's less pressure. And I think someone had mentioned it. One of the analysts said that when we bowl first, since our death bowling is so bad, we enter the dressing room with a negative mentality towards the end of the innings. And then it just cannot communicate into a positive mentality when we start batting again. It's just, it goes down. It's just downhill from there. So I think we should bat first. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd vouch for that. If we won the toss, I think we definitely vouch for us. Also because CSK are quite bad chasers. Yeah. Like, they haven't chased well in the... I mean, okay, they did, you know, score 180 for no loss against whoever, I don't know who it was.
Apart from that.
apart from that, yeah, I think we should bat first. I think, you know, we should, you know, set the tone, go into the dressing room at halftime with a positive mindset and come out and bowl well. I definitely would watch for that. So, yeah. I think we're looking good for tomorrow.
I'm gonna belt them, bro. I'm gonna belt them. Yeah,
it's gonna be fun. But apart from that, I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
No. That's 2 weeks covered up for you guys.
Not completely covered up, but we've done the best that we've
had. Yeah, exactly. Best of our abilities.
We hope you guys have, you know, liked the podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at The Gully Scorecard. Follow us on Twitter at Gully Scorecard. You know, subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review if you like it, you know, for to help us make content like this and, you know, get updates on when we upload. We'll try and be more regular now. We're not going to promise you anything, but we'll try and be more regular. We'll
try our best.
But any final thoughts?
Premier League season is going to be amazing. RCB is going to win the IPL. And please also, if you have any feedback to give us about the podcast, about what you want us to talk about in the future episodes, any ideas you have, just drop us a DM on Instagram. We will reply to you because both of us are lazy fuckers who don't do anything. So we will definitely reply to your DMs and take your suggestions in. So please send us suggestions of what you want to see on the podcast.
Yeah, just please tell us what you want to see. You know, if we think it'll be a good idea, if we think we'd enjoy it, we'll definitely do it. We'll definitely, you know, give it a shot. Yeah, other than that, thank you for listening. Have a good day.